It's 12 minutes to 8 on Radio National Breakfast, and the Labor Party calls the Greens extreme. That's what the Prime Minister branded them just a week or two ago. Many in Labor also call their former leader, Mark Latham, extreme. Since leaving office, he's been one of Labor's harshest critics, saying the party has no future and that the ALP is, quote, beyond repair, beyond reform. As I mentioned, he's updated his 2005 The Latham Diaries, which will be released this week. Mark Latham, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
What do you think of the Prime Minister's depiction in her Whitlam oration last week of Labor being the party that shares the values of everyday Australians and the Greens as the party on the extreme, one that's at odds with those values?
Oh, well, they're the sorts of clichés you expect in the day-to-day political debate. I had a look at the Whitlam oration and thought it was very flimsy and shallow in terms of outlining Labor ideology and facing up to the deep-rooted problems the party has structurally. You know, these are lines that are crafted for the day-to-day media battle, who's going to dominate the TV news, and there was very little serious thinking and long-term perspective in that particular speech.
I know you've been thinking a bit about the Green movement and the Greens, and I'll ask you specifically in a moment about that, but do you think the Greens are extremists? Bob Brown just told us they're a mainstream party now.
Oh, they have some real nutters in their ranks, some absolute extremists, but that's the importance of Bob Brown. He's not of that ilk. He's a healer, a consensus person, soft and gentle in his own personal style, and he's really the glue that binds the Greens together. You've got a more extreme faction in New South Wales. These tensions are coming to the surface, and when Bob Brown retires, as eventually he will, I'd expect they'll have real internal problems in holding their discipline and cohesion.
You, in the introduction, the new introduction to this re-release of the Latham Diaries, you say the future of Australian politics lies with the Green movement, not with the Labor movement. Does that mean the future of the Labor Party can only be in some kind of formal coalition with the Greens?
Oh, well, my statement there is in reference to the issue of climate change. I think climate change is real. The scientists are right, and anyone who questions this is really from a position of political ideology rather than scientific fact and reason. So my conclusion is that climate change will transform our economy, our political system, our society in coming decades and centuries, and there's not a political party around who's able to cope with the scale of the challenge. And internationally, of course, we've seen the breakdown in international cooperation to try and tackle the climate change problem, and I just increasingly get the feeling that when change comes because of climate change, it won't necessarily be through the established institutions of politics, through parliamentary methods. It'll be more a grassroots set of economic and social changes.
Nevertheless, is Julia Gillard on the right path, staking her leadership on introducing a carbon tax effectively? Is that the sort of policy courage and direction you'd advocate?
Well, the real courage, of course, would be doing something serious about the reduction of greenhouse emissions. But you don't get much change in that area if, in introducing a carbon tax or emissions trading scheme, you pay all the compensation back to the big polluters and the households that have set up a carbon-rich lifestyle. There's not a lot of political courage in taking money off people from a carbon tax and then giving it back to them. To try and appease the outer suburban swinging voters in the form of tax cuts and transfer payments. And that's what the Gillard government will do. It was the underlying flaw in the Rudd government emissions trading scheme. In the end, they didn't even have the guts to go ahead with that or call a double dissolution on the issue. The scheme was flawed by the payment of enormous amounts of compensation, all the money back, to polluters and big carbon users.
Well, if you were leader, what would you be doing?
Well, they need to tackle the issue in a serious way. I said after the rout in New South Wales that, you know, they're down to 25% in the biggest state. That's the level of a sectional interest group. And that sort of loss would certainly be better if the party was fighting for something big, was actually having a go on the big issue, which is climate change, and doing something meaningful.
But they are fighting for something big to some degree. I mean, Julia Gillard has reintroduced a carbon price, the notion of a carbon price, a carbon tax. She's getting whacked for that in the polls.
Well, Fran, where's the fight in a party that promised to bring in an emissions trading scheme? Rudd correctly said it was the great moral challenge of our generation. And they folded their cards when they could have had a double dissolution. Rudd gets rolled by the person who told him to fold the cards, and then she comes up in the campaign with a promise of no carbon tax and a citizens' assembly. And then once the election's out of the way to try and win back some Green support, but also with this compensation to pacify the outer suburban swinging voters, they come up with a carbon tax with ultra compensation. See, all that sort of chopping and changing, flipping and flopping is not a party of fight and conviction. It's a party that's sort of, you know, tacking on this issue like they're in a yachting race. Oh, the wind's blowing a bit over towards the Greens. Oh, we better tack that way.
All right.
Oh, the wind's blowing back. The outer suburban people don't like it because of the cost of living pressures. Oh, we better tack our boat over that way.
How does Labor get back to, in your view, to being a party of fight and conviction? I'm looking at the loss. You mentioned the loss in New South Wales election recently. They've elected John Robertson as their leader. Paul Keating says he's unfit to lead because of his role in bringing down the Labor government over electricity privatisation. But many would see John Robertson as a leader of fight and conviction.
Well, there's two big principles. And Keating's right on one front, and that is, you know, he's the author of these microeconomic reforms that have given Australia a long period of economic growth. And Keating's despair, absolute despair, must be to see the engine room of that reform program. You go back in the 80s, and everyone was against Keating in the New South Wales right. The socialist left of the Labor Party, Don's Chips, Democrats, the Fraserite Liberals, the Agrarian Socialist National Party, they're all against Keating's reform program. But the one mob that backed him up and believed in economic liberalisation and openness was the New South Wales right. And now they've got as their leader, and this is Keating's despair, in John Robertson, someone who doesn't believe in any of this stuff. And you've seen the statements of Bernie Reardon and all these self-interested union leaders. They don't believe in the Keating model of economic policy. And that's why the Keating argument is not really about John Robertson. It's about the direction of economic policy in the entire country. So, you know, they need to believe and fight for those reforms that have been proven to be successful on the economic front and at the same time do something meaningful on climate change. Now, you won't get any fight and any conviction, you won't get a true steady course on the policy front while the party's been run by union leaders and focus groups.
Okay. You say that in your introduction, the party is beyond repair, beyond reform, and you say even if they do come up with a radical program to democratise the party, even if that's implemented, the crippling level of public apathy in Australia would render the reforms meaningless. In other words, it's not the Labor Party's fault, it's just no one's interested in political big political parties. Is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. And Fran, not all problems in public life can be solved. You see, you sort of get on the radio every morning and everyone talks cheerfully about what can be done for the future, but not everything can actually be fixed. And the Labor Party is beyond the point of being fixed because it's become a virtual party. There's no effective branch structure. The unions themselves are very narrow and you've got a handful of people making decisions on a very narrow sectional basis rather than Keating's big national interest economic policy, or to do something meaningful on climate change, a big national interest environmental policy. You just don't get that. And it's not going to change, I'm afraid.
Can I just ask you finally, you've had a go at the Prime Minister a couple of times recently. You were a fan of Julia Gillard's once, but during the you're critical of her performance during the Queensland floods. You said she's not a naturally empathetic person, displaying noticeable discomfort around infant children. Anyone who chooses life without children, as Gillard has, cannot have much love in them. Now, it's a pretty outrageous generalisation to make, isn't it? Condemnation of all childless people. They can't have empathy.
Oh, no, Fran, you're childless, but in your circumstances, it's not a choice, is it? The key word is choice.
No, that's not the point. The point is, you say, anyone who chooses life without children cannot have much love in them. There's millions of Australians who make that choice.
What, to choose a career ahead of the opportunity of having children? Well, I think having children is the great loving experience of any lifetime, and by definition, you haven't got as much love in your life if you make that particular choice.
Different thing to have not as much love in your life to not being able to display empathy.
Well, I think the two are closely linked. Empathy around small children is a pretty good test of what sort of person you are in life. And I wrote there about my experience with her, and I can't do any more than tell what I believe to be the truth.
Yeah, but when you say it's a test of what sort of person you are, what do you mean? I mean, you didn't have children for a long time. What did that say about what sort of person you were?
Well, Fran, in no time in my life did I make a choice not to have children. There was a time where I had testicular cancer and thought I couldn't have children because of a disease, because of nature's way.
Choice is a broad term, though, isn't it?
It's really open for interpretation about
what your choice, what context your choice is made in. But that aside, to brand people that do not have children, maybe choose to not have children for whatever reason that you can't know, that they don't have as much love in them or as much empathy, is an horrendous generalisation.
No, Fran, let's not say choice is a broad concept. choice in Gillard's case is very, very specific, particularly because she's on the public record saying that she made a deliberate choice not to have children to further her parliamentary career.
And what's the link between not having children and not having empathy? One would have thought
that to experience the greatest loving experience in life, having children, you wouldn't particularly make that choice. That you would think you.
No, that's a different thing.
As
what's
many people have
what's
done,
the
you
proof that you can't
two.
Have empathy?
Well, I think you could look at her performance during the Queensland floods when she was actually up there with the people and think that it was very wooden. I'm not the only one saying that. And I also had some experience where around small children she was wooden.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it there.
I think the two go together. You know, we're allowed to talk about people's character. I have my character spoken about a lot. Well, I think you can talk about the Prime Minister's character, particularly when there's a public performance, a public appearance consequence.
All right, it's the generalisations I'm talking about. Mark Latham, thank you very much. We've got to leave,
mate. It's a very specific thing. We shouldn't beat around the bush. Gillard was clearly on the public record about this, and people shouldn't think this is some generalisation. I was talking about a specific statement she made, and she should be accountable for it.
Mark Latham, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Mark Latham. And it's the comment he did make was, anyone who chooses life without children, as Gillard has, cannot have much love in them. Sounds like a generalisation to me. Time for the news now then. Katie Lang joins us. It's 8 o'clock.